Having fun today, aren't we? Okay, so I know you. Okay, stand one more time as we read the word of the Lord, and then you get to sit the rest of service. But here, as like we said before, you know, when you we're reading scripture that has been here for thousands of years, millennia after millennia, and long after, if the Lord waits a bit longer and until he returns, generations will continue to read the word of God as God speaks into our hearts. So this morning we're going to read 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 19. We'll be talking about this text today, but it says this: therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, and the new is here. And all this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. Amen. And he's committed to us this ministry of reconciliation. Great verse. How about Romans 5:1? Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God. Isn't that a beautiful thought? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Good news. Amen. Father, we thank you for this morning. And Lord, we do cry out from earth to heaven, praying that you would hear our prayers. And thank you, God, that you are with us. That God, that you're a jealous God, that you love us. You love your creation. That God, each and every person that is here this morning is absolutely precious in your sight, created by you in your image. And you dearly love us, what the Bible calls an everlasting love. That's awesome. So Lord, we just come this morning to steer in truth, and we ask God that you would open our eyes this morning, that we might see you more clearly. Lord, open our eyes this morning that we might see ourselves more clearly. And Lord, we pray that you just give us wisdom and discernment as we see the world in which we live in each and every day. So God, we just commit this to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And you all may be seated. Can we thank our the next generation was up here today? You guys are doing great. So well done. So, okay, a few things before we start. Hey, there's so many things happening at the church starting today. One of them is on Thursday. There's a really cool ministry we have at this church called Grief Share. And it's like a 12-step program for grief. People that go through grief, as Pastor Graham is so, he tells us all the time, there's no shortcuts to grief. And there's a healthy way to go through grief, and there's an unhealthy way to go through grief. If you know of somebody that has just gone through a really hard time, maybe this last year, last couple of years, maybe, do you know of somebody who is a loved one has passed away or something like that? So this is a great ministry, and I just want to encourage you to be aware of it and to invite people to it. We've seen so many people that come, and they're not, you don't have to be a Christian to go to this, but it's just but it's all Christian-based. So just want to just make that aware of, just, man, I know you can think of somebody that needs Jesus in their grief. Can you think of someone right now? Man, let them know about Grief Share. Get them to sign up this week. It's a great ministry. So that one's number one. And obviously, hey, growth groups are starting up this week. If you're not in a small group, a growth group, and we'll get you in one this week. So, let us know. And it's the best part is not just coming and worshiping the Lord on a Sunday, but gathering together with the body of Christ throughout the week and rereading the scriptures and just stirring in the message and how did God speak to you in that, and sharing our lives together, praying for each other. That's what church is. It's a family, right? So I want to encourage you to be part of that. And our brother Mike's Sunday school class is starting back up again right afterwards. So everything's cool and lots happening, lots going on. And welcome to Sunday morning. Okay, so here you go. I have a question for you. Why are these statements that I'm about to shoot back up on the screen true? I shared some of these, actually all these last week, but I want to ask the question this morning. Why are these true? OK, Okay, so here's the first statement. Keep your distance from people who will never admit that they're wrong and who always try to make you feel like everything's your fault. Has this ever happened to you? Raise your hand. You already are thinking of the people that aren't you. Maybe a neighbor, a family member, a work associate, brother, sister, grandma, grandpa, mom, dad. Why is this statement so true? Or how about this next one? They burn the bridge, and then they ask, why don't you visit? And you kind of, that's that deer in the headlight where you're just going, you got to be kidding me. You have no idea. Are you that clueless? Has this ever happened to you? It's happened to me, right? I just kind of go, really? Okay, how about this one? This one's quite interesting. Be aware of the person who stabs you and then tells the world that they're the one who's bleeding. Has this ever happened to you? Yep. A friend in school doing this. Brother, you know, why are these statements true? So last week I shared some of these. The reason why these statements are true is because we human beings are broken. Why Cook's Corner? You remember a few weeks ago here in Orange County, a husband who was divorced from his wife decides to come out, I believe, somewhere in the Midwest, to shoot and kill his wife at Cook's Corner. You guys remember this in the paper? Really? These two get married. I'm sure we could show their wedding picture. Look how happy they are. This is their wedding day. And they go from this, all of a sudden he needs to come out and kill his wife and six other people, right? And I think he shot his wife and she's still alive, but there's six people and killed or shot, wounded. Why? How do you explain this in humanity? If you were to ask Jesus, he'll tell you. See, here's the deal. The reason why relationships are so important to us, and we really saw that during COVID, right? The isolation that happened during COVID was really bad for human beings' mental health. And the reason why that is because you were made for relationships. Because you're made in the image of God. And God is a relational being. And you being made in God's image, this is why relationships are so important to you. Do you know that you came naked into the world and you're going to leave naked? You don't get to take anything with you, but what's in heaven? Relationships with you and God and other people. The most important thing is relationships. But the problem is, if you were to ask with them, why are they so difficult? Why are they so hard? And it's all in Genesis. It's the chapter in the Bible that explains why everything's so broken in the world. And it's called the fall. And when something falls, it breaks. And the problem is that you and I, though we're made in the image of God, we're broken. There's something busted within us. And I shared this last week. It's like taking a beautiful canvas painting that you just painted. And while the paint's still wet, you start wiping it. And thus, it's marred. You can still see the trees or the beautiful sky, but it's been marred. This is you. And this is me. I'm still made in the image of God. I'm still fearfully and wonderfully made, but there's something busted or broken in me. I shared this verse last week. And when I looked at it, I said, that's so fascinating. So early in Jesus' ministry, as Jesus comes on the scene and he's doing such beautiful things, we read in John chapter 2, verses 23 and 24, these words. And it says, now while Jesus was in Jerusalem, at the Passover festival, many people saw the signs he was performing. And no kidding. Dude, you walk on water, I'm in. You just raised that dude from the dead, I'm in, right? I mean, no kidding. They're believing in him. But here is this really interesting verse. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all people. Isn't that a weird verse? There's a lot in that verse. Jesus doesn't entrust himself to humanity because he knows us. He knows us. What does Jesus know about the nature of mankind? He knows that we're broken. So this morning, how broken do you think we became in the Garden of Eden? Have you ever thought about that? How broken do you think we became in the Garden of Eden? So earlier this year, I noticed that my air conditioner in my car wasn't blowing as cold as I wanted it to. And I was hoping, believing, maybe I just need more Freon, right? So I took it to the mechanic shop. And I have a picture of you ever gone to a mechanic shop? You know, there's something broken. And you take it in, and the mechanic plugs it in, and all of a sudden, all the data starts coming down on what's wrong with your car. I needed a new air conditioning compressor. A lot more expensive than Freon. Bummer, right? I was hoping my car wasn't that broken, and then I took it to the mechanic shop, and then they just told me, well, this is how broken your car really is. And then Cindy and I cried and wept for a while, and then we said, well, you want to buy a new car? Let's air conditioner, $1,300 later, yay, you know, right, type thing. Work free on would only been at like $80. When we plug in, Jesus is the ultimate mechanic. He designed us and created us, and he knows where we're broken. When you plug in and you start reading, how broken do you think we are? Are we a little bit broken from Genesis 3 as human beings? This is fascinating. I want you to write this down. Here comes the computer data on humanity, on you, and on me. Write this down. We became bent toward evil. How broken do you think we became in the fall in the garden? Write this down. We became bent toward evil. Here's a sad verse, Genesis 6:5. The Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on earth, and that every inclination of thought of the human heart was only evil. That's broken, people. How broken are we? We're actually quite broken. Let me explain the term evil. You ready for this? Biblically, the term evil carries dual meaning. Okay, so when you say evil, my heart is evil, it carries dual meaning. This is what it means. And you might want to write this down, though it's not in your notes, but this is what it means. Evil means that what is wrong in relation to God and the effects which that wrong has on human life. This is what's called evil. That the human heart is inclined or bent toward evil. Evil is a term, it's that what is wrong in relation to God. Because God is good. The opposite of good is evil. And what is now bent in relation to God, that what is wrong in relation to God and the effects. So not only am I off with God, but the effects of that which is wrong on human life. Anything in that regard is called evil. And in the fall, we're now bent toward evil. The fallen heart, it's twisted toward evil and away from God. That's all of us. Write this one down. Number two, the fallen heart became swollen with pride. Once we fell, we became swollen with pride. We became self-centered, and I did it my way, right? You know, I'm the captain of my own ship, and I will steer, and me, and I, and mine, and me, self-centeredness and an arrogance that we know it all. It's in us. It's a part of, it's our brokenness. This one scares me. The fallen heart became prone to deceit. Deceit. Sad verse. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is more deceitful than all else. It's desperately sick. Who can understand it?" That's a sad verse. We don't usually put this verse like on a beautiful canvas and hang it over our fireplace, you know? This is one of those where you're just saying, really? The heart is more deceitful than all else, and it's desperately sick. Who can understand it? We as a people, we are desperately ill because we are fallen. And deceit is like lies. You know what I'm saying? Lies. Have you ever lied to God? Have you ever lied to someone else? Have you ever lied to yourself? See, that's what those statements at the very beginning are so true. People like do this and they're so deceived. I just punched you in the face and I'm the victim. Really? And you believe this? It's called deceit. Deceit. We're prone to deceit. We're open for deception. And see, this is the statement that totally scares me. See, because if you're being tempted, do you know that you're being tempted? Answer. If you're being tempted, okay, I'm on a diet and there's Krispy Kremes. And you pause. And then you smell. Oh, maybe I'll just get a cup of coffee. Do you know what's happening to you? Of course. When you're being tempted, do you know you're being tempted? Of course. When you're being deceived, do you know that you're being deceived? Answer, no. It scares me. This is the one that scares me the most, because how many times have I deceived myself? When I'm being deceived, I don't even know it. It scares me. Have you ever deceived yourself? Check this verse out. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Well, who I hang out with doesn't affect me. You're deceiving yourself. Show me your friends, people, and I'll show you your future. Oh, no, no. Who I hang out with has no effect on me. You are deceiving yourself. Am I right? Do you know, so my story. I hung out with a group of friends in high school who I did drugs. I abused alcohol big time. I was in the back of police cars in handcuffs at the age of 17 years of age. Is that okay? Can I share that with you? Pastor Frank, if I hadn't known that, I wouldn't listen to you. If I knew your sin, I wouldn't even be talking to you. Right? Welcome to the human race. This is all of us. My friends, when I met Jesus, all my friends says, Frankie's found religion. Do you know, I don't hang out with any of them. I've lost touch with all of them. They totally affected my life. And honestly, I would not want my kids to hang out with who I was when I was their age. Bad company corrupts good morals. No, it doesn't. You're deceiving yourself if you think you can do this and it will not affect your life. Have you ever deceived yourself? How about this one? Galatians 6, 7 and 8. Do not be deceived. God can't be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit from the Spirit will reap eternal life. You reap what you sow. It's cause and effect. I throw a tennis ball at the wall, it comes back. It's just the way it is, right? See, I can have a victorious Christian life of compromise. One foot in the world and one foot with God. If you believe that, you're deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself. See, deception scares me the most. When I'm being tempted, I know it, but when I'm being deceived, I am just being swept away. into whatever's about to happen. Here's the point. The human heart, how broken are we? We're pretty broken people. We're bent toward evil. We're swollen with pride. We're prone to deceit. Take notes with me. Write these down. The fallen heart became hardened. I'm hardened. You ever met a hardened heart? They won't listen. I'm hardened. Write this one down. The fallen heart became stubborn. 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 I'll write this one down. The fallen heart became foolish and is prone to turn away from God. Anyone? Anybody? Sound familiar to you in your story, and your human life story? These are chapters in my story. These are chapters in my story. Do you want to know why relationships are so important to us? Because they're important to God and we've been made as relational beings. Why are relationships then so broken, Pastor Frank? It's because of the fall. We're marred. We're broken. Well, how broken are we, Pastor Frank? Does any of these do well for human relationships? You being bent toward evil, does that help in your human relationships? You being swollen with pride, does this help you in human relationships? You being prone to deceit, does this help in relationships? You being hardened and stubborn, does this help human relationships? Answer?
No.
It makes it bad, people. Here lies the problem. The reason why this stuff is so hard, it's so hard for us to have relationships. And it comes from, people, it's rooted in our separation from the one that makes relationships work, God. The reason why relationships are so difficult is because it's rooted in our separation from God who makes relationships work. Here's the good news. Are you ready for some great news today? Where does the hope and the healing in human relationships call from? Okay, so this is kind of depressing. So is there any hope in this circumstance? And when you read Genesis 3, it's called the fall. When things fall, they broke. Our ancestors are broken and we're all offshoots of our ancestors. Their DNA is in all of us and we're all broken. So where does the hope come from? Where does healing come from? When you read Genesis 3, at the moment of our fall, we read what God does with this situation. In an act of grace, which means unmerited favor, it means you don't deserve what's about to be given to you. In an act of grace, in an act of mercy, and mercy is not getting what you deserve, so in an act of grace, and in an act of mercy, the Trinity reaches out to us with the purpose of restoration, of reconciliation. To heal our relationship with God, and from God, it trickles into all of our other relationships. This is the good news. It's the key to healthy relationships. Now, how does God do this? This is how he did it. You ready? God became one of us. The creator becomes the created. Merry Christmas. Right? And then he pays for our rebellion and our sin and our crime against him in our rebellion on a cross. Happy Easter. Right? For what purpose? Why? Why does he come and why does he do that? To restore us to God in relationship. To bring us peace with God. Romans 5:1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, that means like we've never done anything wrong. It's like I've been justified, exonerated. It's like I've never done anything wrong. Since I've been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. People, peace with God is a really good thing. Peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How nice it is to have peace with God. Right? Do I hear an amen? It's a good thing. See, you're going to spend a long time with him. You want peace with God. Once you're restored to God, to the God of perfect harmony and perfect love, to restored to the God of unity, of relationship, once we're restored to that, what happens to us is a five-letter word. Peace. 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 Internal, spiritual peace. The woman at the well, she just kept looking for things. And Jesus says, you drink from me, you'll have waters that spring up to eternal life. Right? So write this down. Here's a good note. Note number 7 says, in Jesus we receive healing and peace with God. In Jesus. And it's a done deal, by the way. The work on the cross is awesome and it's completed. I'm an adopted child of God. I'm born again. All those Ephesians 1s, in Christ, in Him, in the Beloved. I'm holy and blameless. These beautiful things of who I am now in Jesus. It's all this. He brings me peace with God. And see, but once that happens, once I have peace with God, you know what is the next thing that begins to happen? As you begin to have peace with God through Jesus, the next important relationship that happens in your life is your relationship with you. To have peace with you. To look in the mirror and say, I have peace with God. I can begin to have peace with myself. And once I can have peace with me and Jesus begins to heal me and bring me a peace, then I'm able to have the possibility of peace with other people, right? Once I have peace with God, I begin to have peace with myself. Listen to this. Do you know what Jesus' first words to his disciples after he arose from the dead? John 14:27, it says, peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Not that this world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not be fearful. The first words that Jesus said to his disciples is, peace be with you. Peace. Can you just breathe? Do you know that you have peace with God in Christ? I don't need to impress God or do push-ups for God. I have peace with God. Do you know how beautiful that is? To no longer strive. The work that Jesus does on the cross brings me peace with God. John 16:33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Amen. What's on the heart of Jesus after his resurrection from the dead? What does he want for you? Peace. You have peace. John 20:19-21. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst. Popped right in, transported. It says, peace be with you. After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. And again, Jesus said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you. Peace with God. Peace with you. Where does the peace in human relationships come from? It starts with being restored to the one who made us. And from there, it moves into our innermost being, our spiritual life. We're restored, or Jesus says the word reborn. Reborn. We are restored to significance in our lives, united in the fulfilling purpose of our Creator. We are safe and secure people in Jesus. We are restored in belonging as we have a sense now of identity. So I remember when I was in seminary and they were opening the Bible and they were saying, this is how broken you are. I'm like, I had no idea it was this broken. But you know what? I think I get it. One of my professors said this and it stuck with me forever. And I want to say this. Dr. Anderson, one of my professors, said these words. He said, a Christian is not simply a person who gets forgiveness or who gets to go to heaven or who gets the Holy Spirit or who gets a new nature. A Christian, in terms of their deepest identity, is a saint, a born-again child of God, a divine masterpiece, a child of light, a citizen of heaven. See, being a Christian is not just getting something, it's becoming someone. Isn't that good? I'm becoming somebody. I'm not just getting something. I am becoming someone. Being born again is becoming someone who was not there before. See, what you have isn't the point. It's who I am. And you know what? I've been trying to stir this truth into my life for 35 years. This is who I am in Christ. I'm a child of God. 1 Peter 2:9 and 10 says this, and here's some great words. But you're a chosen people. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're God's special possession. Did you know that? You are. That you may declare the praises of Him who calls you out of the darkness and into His wonderful light. See, once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you've received mercy. Isn't that beautiful? You once were in a do you know who you are today in the eyes of God? You are the people of God. You are His possession. Precious in His sight. Isn't that beautiful? John, 1 John 3:1 says, see what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that's what we are. Say that with me. Ready? That's what we are. 1, 2, 3. That's what we are. You're a child of God. You've become somebody in Jesus. Dear friends, your identity, who are you? I'm a child of God, restored to God. I have peace with God. How does this make you feel? Doesn't it make you feel kind of good? If you meditate on this and stir this in, like you have hot chocolate and you have milk and you pour in a little chocolate, maybe you want chocolate, you got to stir this in because this is who you are. You stir this in. Write this note down. Here's another note. Note number 8. In Jesus we receive healing and peace with ourselves. This is who I am. Isn't that beautiful? Peace with God. I have peace with me. I look in the mirror, and God says, Frankie, you're my kid, and I love you. That you're holy and blameless. You are born again, born anew, born from above. You're adopted into my kingdom. If you live, this helps me have peace. See, if I don't have peace in my soul, how can I have peace with other people? If I'm messed up, if I'm a broken, messed up person, then I just turn around and just have broken, messed up relationships externally. Once I can internally find peace with God and then let that peace stir into who I am, now I'm in a position to have relationships with other people that I'm not those quotes. That hopefully when people read stuff, they don't go Frank Winans. Right? Because I need to be healed. You want healthy relationships? Be healed in Jesus. Okay? And see, once all this comes into us, once all this happens, that I have peace with God and peace with myself, see, then I'm in a position to have healthier human relationships as I'm stirring this into my life. And then listen, see, so once this is true, what does God now say to you and to say to me because this is true? Jesus with his Sermon on the Mount. Does this ring a bell? Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. Once I have peace with me, I can turn around and bring peace to what? My relationships. Blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of God. How can I be a peacemaker if I have no peace with God and no peace within myself? How can I possibly have peace or bring peace to other people? Have you ever heard the old saying, wounded people wound other people? That's true. Broken, wounded people just wound other people. But once we have this, this is the key, people. This is the key. I have peace with God through Christ. I can begin to see who I am now as a child of God. And now Jesus calls me, go be a peacemaker in the world. I like this one, Romans 12:18. The Bible says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everybody. Did you know it takes two to fight? It takes two to fight. Blessed are the peacemakers. The Bible says, as much as it depends on you, be at peace with whoever. Maybe they don't want to have peace with you. Okay, that's cool, but I'm not the one fighting. I'm done. Do you understand? It's peace. How about this verse? Ephesians 2:13-14. I love this verse. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Jesus. For he himself is our peace. Oh, man. And who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility. What this verse is saying is that there is Jews and Gentiles. In the context, it's saying that in Jesus, he brings Jews and Gentiles together. And this is what they're singing in heaven right now in the book of Revelation. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals because you were slain. And with your blood, you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God, and they will reign on the earth. Jesus, for how many nations, tribes, and tongues? All. Jesus brings peace within humanity of all nations. Look around. Look around for a moment. Do you see people different than you in this room? There's people of different color in this room. There are people of different generations in this room. Do you know what? We're all one people. There's peace in this room. In Christ. One people. Peace. Gosh, couldn't we have this in the world? In Messiah, there's peace with God, peace with me, and he brings peace to humanity. We're one people. He tears down the dividing walls, the barriers of arrogance and pride and stupidity. We're one people made in the image of God. This is awesome. Hey, relationships have a potential to be really good on earth in Christ. He destroys all this racism. Generations, languages, colors, cultures, Jew and Gentile. We all have peace. Isn't that good? Write this down. Write this down. Last note. Here it is. In Jesus we receive power and wisdom to have healthier relationships with others. Is that true? In Jesus, we receive power and wisdom to have healthier relationships with other people. It doesn't mean that all our relationships are going to be happy. Be at peace with as much as it's up to you. But at least you're the peacemaker. You now walk in peace. I have peace with God. I have peace with me. And can I have peace with you? Blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Once Jesus is in our lives, he now enables us to have the power and the opportunity to have peace with other people, as much as it depends on you. See, here's the deal. Jesus is the Lord. That means he's the king and he's the one in charge. The Bible says that he's bought you with a price and you are his. And that's a very good thing. Do you know that he's the shepherd of your soul? He's the shepherd, and there's this flock of people. It's God's people, and he watches over us. He's the one in charge. So here's the deal. When Jesus commands you to forgive, guess what you're called to do? You forgive. When Jesus says, don't go to bed on your anger, you don't go to bed on your anger. Early in a marriage, once upon a time, far, far away, when Cindy and I was living in the Willows and we had, I think, one baby, and believe it or not, Cindy and I had gone to bed and we were mad at each other. Family secrets. And I remember I sleep on the right side and she sleeps on the left. And I was way over there. And she was way over there. And I even think I was laying there like this. Because I was right. I don't even remember what it was. She was probably right. No, maybe I was right. No, I was probably right. We were mad. And I'm laying in bed, and this verse comes to mind. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger. Do not give Satan a foothold in your life. And I'm laying in bed, and I'm like, Jesus is telling me, no. Cindy, you remember what I said? I said something like, boy, you're sure way far over there right now. And Cindy just kind of laughed a little bit. And then I sat up and I quoted the verse. I said, tomorrow morning you'll find out that I'm right. No, I didn't say that. I said, we don't have to agree tonight, but we can't be angry. We can talk about this tomorrow. Right? I think we prayed, whatever, and we didn't go to bed angry. Because he's the Lord. He's the Lord. He's the one that says forgive. He's the one that says don't go to bed on your anger. Once Jesus is in your life, Jesus actually makes relationships a lot better. Jesus makes marriages a lot better. Jesus makes friendships a lot better. Jesus makes everything in regard to relationships really better. But it's in him that this stuff happens. When Jesus commands me to be loyal, I should be loyal. When Jesus commands me to not lie, I shouldn't lie. When Jesus tells me don't steal, I shouldn't steal. And you know, by the way, employers like when you do that, by the way. So does your friends. Your friends like people that are loyal and people that don't lie to them and people that won't steal from them. It's a real bummer when you have a friend that steals from you, right? Jesus commands us to be different. It's who we are. See, Jesus creates a whole new view. It's so wild. Like, we know that relationships are important to us, and he explains why. And we know that relationships are really hard. Why are they so hard? He explains why. And the good news is, and God says, now let me show you how to have healthy relationships. I'm sending Christ, my son, to earth to heal and fix what was broken. And I'm going to start with you. So as I send my son Jesus into the world, he's going to fix you. He's going to heal you. Here is the verse, 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 19. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creature has come. That means he's fixing you. The old is gone, which is really broken. And the new is here. And all this is from God, who reconciles us to himself through the promised coming Messiah, or the Christ, and he gives us the ministry of reconciliation. See, God is healing you to him and his son. God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ. He's not counting your sins against you. Amen. And he commits us the ministry of bringing healing and peace to the world. A message of reconciliation. See, what God does is he sends his son Jesus into the world to fix you. And once you and him are fixed, then he wants you to be at peace with you. You're a child of God. Do you know who the hardest person I have forgiving? Is me. I struggle forgiving me. Because it's like I do things and I'm like, you idiot. I say that to me all the time. Frankie, you idiot. And you know, there was a time when Jesus said, you know, Frankie, I've forgiven you of all your sins. And you can't forgive yourself? Who do you think you are? Are you greater than me? I'm like, Lord. It's like, Frankie, let yourself off your own hook. Jesus brings peace in my life. With him and with me. And he's given me the capacity to have better relationships in the world. And it's the same with you. He's really good for human relationships. To have peace with God and peace with you. And now go be at peace with other people as much as it's up to you. And if they want to fight with you, then let them go. But you don't have to. I'm done. I'm a peacemaker. Blessed are the peacemakers, right? See, here's the deal. This is the theological bedrock from where everything we're going from here derives from. Next week, we're going to talk about how do we resolve conflicts, relational conflicts. But it all comes from this. The following week, we're going to talk about marriage and relationships. Well, it all stems from what we've just... Everything hinges on today, stirring in what this means. Friendships, it stirs in from this and today. We're going to talk about divorce and relationships coming up in the weeks. But it all comes from here, built upon this truth. Where are you in the journey? Do you know, we have these, for those of you online, you don't get one, but for those of you here, you know, in the front pocket, there's this thing called the spiritual journey. They got a picture of it. It's beautiful. All of us are on a journey somewhere. And I love this. This is why we've put this out. Like, there are people, I'm not interested. That was me. Quit talking to me. I became curiously searching. Yes. Then I became searchingly, assertively, like, you got to be kidding me, Isaiah 53 stuff. There was a moment when I came to faith and said, I accept Christ in my life. From that moment on, I began experiencing new life, has entered into a mentoring relationship with another follower, grasps the meaning of the gospel and the core elements of the following Jesus, sharing Christ, and is growing in community with other people, growth groups, and this and that and the other, and living missionally as a peacemaker in the world. This is the spiritual journey. Where are you? Do you know the more you're to this, to the right, the better you'll be in human relationships? The more you are on this journey to the right, the more you have peace with yourself and peace with God and peace with other people. Do you know, it's when you're in Jesus, we can say these words. These are terrible words to say. Are you ready? Here they come. I'm sorry. Have you ever said, I'm sorry? Have you ever said, will you forgive me? I know people, they would rather die than say those words. Jesus teaches me to own my stuff. I'm sorry. Will you forgive me? Where are you on the journey? Jesus came. Why? To heal you and fix you and restore you to God and bring peace into your soul and through Jesus to begin to have peace within human relationships. It's the key to healthy human relationships. The key has a name. Jesus. Where are you on the journey? Right? Where are you? The more you walk with Jesus, the better it's going to be. That's the truth. And that's that. Now we're done. Are you thinking? You're listening, aren't you? Who are you? Do you know when you accepted Jesus, you just didn't get forgiveness. You just didn't get heaven. You became somebody. You're in Christ. You're changed. I want you to stir this in. The worship, and let me pray over you. The worship team's going to come up, and we're going to sing a couple songs as we close in prayer today. And by the way, if you're here today and you're hearing this, and maybe you just need prayer, there are going to be people that are going to be coming up. Father, I thank you for my brothers and sisters in this room. I thank you, God, for the truth of the word of the living God. Lord, you explain all the mysteries and all our questions are found answered in here in many aspects. The big questions, right? Lord, I pray for my brothers and sisters in this room that you would remind them today of who they are in your eyes and who they've become in your son, Jesus, and how you see them through Christ. Help us to see ourselves the way you see us. I pray for mental health for all of us in this room. I pray for peace between us and you in this room. I pray for peace between us and ourselves in this room. And Lord, if there's anybody in this room that's mad at anyone else, would you have them go talk to each other today and say the words, I'm sorry and will you forgive me? If anybody's in here and sinned against anyone else, then grow up and own it and say, I'm sorry and will you forgive me? Be a peacemaker. Husbands and wives, say you're sorry. Friends, say you're sorry. Neighbors, brothers, sisters, be at peace with each other. Be at peace with you. Be at peace with the Lord. God, we pray that you would fall upon this place. Speak into our souls. Speak into our hearts today. We pray this in the name of Jesus. And all those who love Jesus would say what? Amen. Do I hear an amen? Amen? This is it, people. If you don't get this, you're toast. Honestly. So here's the deal. It says in James chapter 5 that the Bible says, man, if you need prayer, to seek out the leaders of the church and they want to pray over you. The Bible says if you have physical needs, to come to them and they'll anoint you with oil and pray for healing over your body. If you have emotional needs or spiritual needs, come into the church. Here's the deal. You don't show up on Tuesday. The leadership team's going to be here today. So I'm going to ask for all those. Come here, Cinda. So my wife and I are going to be up here. I'm going to have Jacob. We've got some youth leaders that's going to be over here praying with people. I've got our leadership team, Sandra, Sunny's, come here, Megan. Godly woman. Watch out for this woman, Megan, over here. Prayers of a righteous woman accomplish much. Dr. Ball's here. Up in the balcony, we've got Dr. Wang, and I know the Chows are going to be up there. For Yoshi in the balcony, here's the deal. We're going to just worship God, and here's a great song. Come heal me. It's a great song. We're coming to the altar. If you're here today and you need prayer, then you come forward and let us pray for you. Let's stir in these truths. And people, if somebody comes up to receive prayer, would you just pray over them today? Whoever that... If you watch and someone comes up here and says, man, I need prayer, you don't know, but you're their brother and their sister. Can you throw up a prayer for them? What's the first lyrics of this song?
Are you hurting and broken within?
Overwhelmed by the weight of your sin. Jesus is calling.
Let's sing this. Let's sing this.